cut the sky. I heard an elder, one of my elders, Manyami, said it one time to me, referring to, you know, the sky when it was building up a storm and the young men were out bush for ceremony. He said it as a way to part the clouds and clear the sky for good spirit for them. And I remember being a young person really fully convinced that our elders can do that. They can cut the sky, they can sing the rain, they can make things happen because they know the right song and dance and things to do to be able to make that happen. And I guess it made us start looking at that Aboriginal perspective of caring for country, keeping that balance, but also knowing full well that if we make that balance tip, that we got to face the consequence, that there's a bigger thing that's in control of the game. And if we continue to cause that balance to be disturbed, we'll have to face the consequences. So we hope to show perspectives on that during Cut the Sky's performance.
Something that we've always heard of around some of the issues that happen in Western Australia regarding mining in the Pilbara?
Yeah, I'm not so familiar with Pilbara area, but I have family relations that are, you know, from that way that speak about, you know, the devastation of country and things that are happening there. And it's always, you know, for us in the Kimberley, you know, places that are pretty much untouched that still exist right there are threatened with that massive industrialisation in the same way. And we have examples of how it doesn't work. And the fear of that happening in the place that you are connected to and you call home is leaves your spirit a little bit broken. It also puts a fire in your belly to fight for it in the ways that you can. And for us, art is a strong vehicle for that.
It's interesting because we sort of talk more and more about it, but you're bringing it forward to show the impacts of our spiritual and physical well-being because of the issues around mining and fracking and everything else that's going on out there. It is like a spiritual attack on the land, and so that therefore, you know, spiritually that makes us unwell. That's just an international, like, universal knowledge or law, really, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, you're born with all that responsibility, and it's very hard to separate, you know, the social impacts and the economic and all the different, you know, it's so complex that being an Indigenous person, negotiating those things within your culture and within your responsibilities is a heavy weight to carry. And we try to look at some of those complexities, you know, being from language groups that have had, you know, make decisions pretty much with guns pointed to their head. You know, there's no way we can actually say no, because the government has the upper hand on that game, but you can't blame people for wanting better for their people as well. So it's such a complex issue to look at what you can gain out of making deals and all these kinds of things, but the things that you sacrifice and that spiritual connection and that harming of the balance is the thing that really shines through.
You're listening to SBS Radio Living Black. I'm Kirsten Lindsay. I'm speaking to Dahlia Pigram and Rachel Swain, who are the directors of the Marageku Theatre Company, and they're speaking about their latest performance, Cut the Sky. I want to hear more about the actual performance and what you bring forward as far as the choreography and, you know, the production side of things. What is special, or what do you really like about this performance?
One of the kind of structural devices, I guess, we used for the piece is to move backwards and forwards across time. We start somewhere maybe 60, 70 years in the future and a few degrees, more degrees of global warming than we currently hope to have, maybe 3.4 or something like that, in the midst of a cyclone. We travel back in time to the kind of peak of the mining industry, inspired by a poem of the poet Edwin Lee Mulligan that we work with in the piece, who's a Walmajari Nyigana man, about the crocodile who once was human. It's effectively a poem about greed. Then we go forwards maybe 200 years into the future to really imagining a devastating impact of climate change with massive extinction and real desperate searches for water. We then move back in time to like 1979, to the Nookumba protests. We kind of look back in time to ask, have the questions changed or are they still the same? Like, did we learn something? Have we moved on? Or in this particular part of country, in Edwin's country, are we asking the same questions we were asking around the Nookumba protest? And then we go forward in the final act to a kind of abstract space of dreaming country to ask, you know, could we follow a different logic? Isn't inevitable, or could we dream a different future together? So we've worked in collaboration with the dancers to embody these ideas. We use a task-based process, and also we work in country and with custodians. So the dancers respond to what the custodians tell them about country, or they respond to tasks we give them, like, you are the last of your kind, or show us a burning tree in all its phases, or what dance would you offer for the future? And then the dancers improvise and they offer back phrases, and then we take the phrases and develop them and position them in scenes, or people learn each other's material to develop group choreography. So the whole company collaborates very intensively on producing the responses to the ideas that we're exploring.
Dahlia, with your choreography, do you want to talk a bit about that? Because you've got a very extensive background in dance. Do you want to talk a bit about what people will see regarding the visualisation with the dance?
As Rachel has spoken about our process, of we invite, like, handpick and target the artists that we invite into this process, because we very much value their responses. So this task-based work is drawn out of their stories, their own personal perspectives on the things that are exploring. And then Sergei Mikulibaly and myself had the privilege to work with that material and start to develop, like, a grammar, if you like, for the piece. So things that we would like to shine out of each scene or particular choreography. And working with Rachel and the dramaturg Hildegard, we discussed, you know, the urgency of a lot of the material that was being produced, and, you know, and that in relation to climate change was fitting. And we developed that idea more to, you know, fine-tune different scenes or particular phrases to draw that out more, or the fragility, the all kinds of things that are connected to climate change. So it's all sort of built into the way that we've shaped particular scenes to, you know, give that perspective. And also dancers have that ability to give an audience the opportunity to feel the material and feel those issues in a different way, because we're moving for everyone, you know, like the dance speaks for what you might be thinking about such a huge issue as climate change.